Isn't God amazing? I'm going to ask that you would just go ahead and be seated, and I'm going to do something while you're seated. Normally we keep standing, but God has really been speaking to me a lot this whole past year. He's been prophetically speaking into my own personal life, showing me things about the church and showing me things about our nation and about the world. On June 23rd of last year, the Lord called me into, I call it a man cave or a place of where I spend time with God. And he began to share with me, we'll talk about this in a moment, but the series that we're going to begin today in the new year. By the way, Happy New Year. What a joy it is to have a new season with the church family that I love and I respect so highly and think of you often every day of my life, of how privileged my wife and I are of being your pastors, but also just being a part of your lives and you being a part of ours. And Christmas and New Year's was wonderful. Just all the giftings of our church and just how you ministered and just loved on the people. I pray that you're sensing what the Lord showed me. The Lord promised me that there were going to be some breakthroughs that I've been believing God for quite a few years regarding my own life, my call, my ministry, the church, my family. And I saw it all come to pass last year. And in that, what God was saying to me was, I am taking Valley Community Church on another level. A lot of times when we think of breakthrough, we think of healing, we think of family situations, job, finances. But God's taking us on another spiritual level. And in this spiritual level, it's not like, ooh, what, you know. It is literally on the inside of what God has done. And I'm sure many of you have already done this. And like me, the end of last year, things manifested in such a unique and wonderful way of the breakthrough that sometimes it was like it just happened. And I wasn't really thinking about it. I wasn't really, fasting and praying and doing all the different things about that situation. But what God was showing me is what I'm going to be teaching you. He was showing me about his grace. And he was showing me of his plan for me personally. I'm married, and a lot of times my plan personally includes my wife. But there's some specific personal things in my own life that he works with. But I know because he's doing that with me, he's doing that with you. And I'm sure some of you have seen things manifest. And it's like you were busy doing other stuff and all of a sudden it's like, whoa, this just took place. And it's because this level that God chose, his plan for you and me, he chose this season to take us in a higher place with him. Because grace is this way, that God himself chose, not because you prayed enough, not because you worshiped enough, not because you gave enough or you returned the tithe. God chose because God was God. This season, this time, this year, 2025, to cause an explosion of the many facets of dreams and wishes and prayers and faith movements that you had for decades, if you've known the Lord for a long time. Or if you've known the Lord this past year, many received the Lord, that you've just known Him for 6 months. But there are things that are innate in you because of your call, because of what God called you to in the foundation of this earth. Ephesians chapter 1 talks about that. Is He's taken you to a level, and what we're experiencing now in our world, there's still evil out there. In this world, there's tribulation. But God's doing a unique thing now in our world, in our nation, in our church. And so I want to pray for you, because I believe that this series that I'm doing, I've said this before, because at that time, that was the truth in my spirit. But I really sense that the next 3 months of the teachings that I'm going to be bringing you will be very transformative and prepare you for the greater things that God is already doing. Because there are people that we'll find in this series, that there are people that, and I'm going to use my old guy term, but when things begin to turn around and successes and miracles and things happen, sometimes we have a tendency to become cocky, and it's because of what I've done, how I've stayed faithful, and we become prideful. And June 23rd is when He called me in there. The first 5 minutes of June 23rd, God brought me in and He chewed me out. It wasn't like He was angry at me, but He chewed me out because He says, I'm doing this thing in your life and you're not really seeing it. It's not like I'm acting out in pride. It wasn't pride, but I wasn't really seeing that it was the grace of God moving and doing what grace is in my life. And so I'm just saying to you as your pastor, prophetically, that God is moving in, He's changing a lot of things. Where you used to think this way, and it was good, but it's not where God wanted you to be. And now you're finding yourself really rising up, compassionate, passionate about things that you were before, but now it's like, it's you. Your home, your marriage, your relationships, your church. You've been faithful to church, but now faithful is in you. And from that, there's going to be grace that's going to explode and create the miraculous in your life. But God, as He chewed me out for 5 minutes, wanted to make sure that I saw what He was about to do in all of us, in our world, in our nation, in our church, in our homes, in my marriage, that He was going to do this, and it was Him doing it because He loved me. And He's a God of grace. And then after that 5 minutes, He unfurled this whole series to me. What He wanted me to talk about. The premise behind it. And so we're going to do this, but I just want to pray for you that you would experience what I experienced that first 5 minutes on June 23rd last year. It took me to a level that I never dreamed that I could move into. And the miracles that I am seeing, there are a lot of miracles I'm seeing. I don't say a word about them because I just, I'm not a TV guy, okay? Everybody watching online, all the above, and other nations, all the different things. I'm not a TV guy. I'm a guy that looks at people straight in the eyes and says, I want you to be everything God's called you to be. That's who your pastor is. That's my DNA. That's what I want to see. I want to see your marriage, the best marriage that this world could ever know. I want to see your personal walk with God to be the greatest, greater than mine. Because that's my passion. But I'm seeing miracles right and left. I'm walking in stores. I'm walking in a club. Someone walks up to me. I don't have a clue who they are. And they said, are you a pastor? I said, yeah, I am. Can you tell me about this Jesus? I said, well, who talked to you? No one did. I saw you walking from your car, and something told me you were a pastor of a church. And I need an answer to a question. And right there, right in front of the receptionist's desk, I led the guy to the Lord. That's what's happening. That's what's happening. All over the place. Miracles. Where I'm speaking to the screen. Again, I'm not a TV guy. I'm a one-on-one. I like being with people and helping them become everything God's called them to be. Those things are happening. And it's because of God and His grace. Not because I'm a pastor or I've done all the right things. None of us are perfect. Father, in Jesus' name, everyone watching on the screen, and especially those that are in the house today, Holy Spirit is asking me in Jesus' name for the many that are sick and that are watching online right now. I proclaim the healing power of God over your bodies. I proclaim strength to you in Jesus' name. No sickness and disease has power over you, and you are healed by Jesus' stripes. Everyone in the house, you're healed in Jesus' name. Emotionally and physically, spiritual truth will just overwhelm us. Every aspect of our life has gone to a new level. Father, help us. Teach us the next few months and what to look for, what to see, what to experience during this season. And I give you praise for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. 2025 is a year that God will intervene. Thank you, everyone. He's going to intervene in a unique way with His plans for us. God will intervene. He has chosen to do that. The direction of the Lord is so important. Why? Because you and I have to have a choice to become obedient to the things of the Lord, what He asks us to do. But the most important part of God's plan is, in His plan for you, what does it do? We spend a lot of times asking the Lord, what is it? What is the plan? Why are you doing this? We ask our parents, we ask our siblings, we ask our pastors, why is God doing this? What is God doing? All that. My statement to you today is, all throughout the series we're going to do will be about what does God's grace do? And we have to find out what grace is. But I want you to understand, finding out what grace we need to understand what it does. What it does for you individually and corporately. Well, because a new season, and I'm trying to get you as many dumb jokes as possible, I'm going to share one with you. I heard about this elderly couple. They were having a terrible time with their memory. So they went to the doctor, and he instructed them to start writing down everything they had been forgetting. The next night, they were watching television, and the wife said, "I sure would like a bowl of ice cream, honey." And the husband said, I'll go get it for you. And the wife said, "Honey, you know what the doctor said. You better write it down." He said, "I'm just going in the kitchen. I'm not going to forget." A little later, he came back and handed her a plate of bacon and eggs. She looked at him. You know how the wives can look at their husbands? She shook her head and said, "I should have known it. You forgot my toast." That might be one of five at the end of the year this year. We're talking about the plan of God. And I want to explain and express to you God's amazing grace in the realm or the premise of the plan of God. What is God's plan for you? That's the ongoing question we all have. We need to realize after the sin of Adam, we began to see in Scripture the unfolding of God's plan for us. Jesus saves us by grace through faith. I'll say it again. Jesus saves us by grace through faith. God makes the old broken places in our lives new again. Because we open ourselves up to Him. Now, in this brokenness that is made new, we have to understand it opens a door to a new life, a new way of thinking, a new way of speaking, and really a power that is not human. It creates an atmosphere, a culture in every area of your life. If we understand God's amazing grace, it's where, when we understand this grace, where we really fully receive the love of God. And I will share with you in the 46 years of ministry, there are many wonderful people that know God, love God, are born again, going to heaven, that haven't fully received the love of God. They don't comprehend it because they don't understand what grace does. Grace is the unmerited, undeserved, unearned kindness and favor of God that puts us in right standing with Him, that there is no shame. I'll say it again. Grace is the unmerited, undeserved, unearned kindness and favor of God that puts us in right standing with Him. So the question is, why does God want to start our new year describing grace? Why on June 23rd that God brought me in, chewed me out for 5 minutes, and then began to pour out His love towards me, reminded me of all these things that I'm going to show you in the next 3 months? Because we need to look around in our world. We need to look around, maybe even our own homes. How many people do not know and understand the grace of God in their lives? How many people live their lives for the Lord but don't understand the fullness of what it means? How many believers live in a sense of shame and condemnation? How many watching online, or maybe some sitting in here, that you're sitting here and some of the things that are being said, some of the things that we sang didn't mean much to you because you're living in shame and condemnation. It's not because that's what's happening or not because you've done something wrong. It's because you don't understand God's grace. We have to get to a place where many live in fear and they live in a spirit of failure. And we need to remove that. And the only way to remove that is not being a better Christian. Is not putting notches on your belt and bringing more people to Jesus. Or how many believers are performance-oriented? It's about what we do that makes us feel better. And if we don't, we feel guilty because we miss church. Or we feel guilty because one of the staff asked you to be a part of something and you got sick and you couldn't go and you feel guilty the whole week. And when you come to church, you're walking around like this because you're performance-oriented or you're perfection-driven. I like things done well. I'm a type A personality. But I've learned through the years, because of God's grace, that that's not the most important. How many of us have a father wound? Where we struggle in relationships and we don't feel loved. And because we don't feel loved because of a father wound, then we can't understand or we struggle with understanding how much God loves us. How many live discouraged around us and are depressed because they don't believe they measure up? They struggle in areas of their life. They struggle with an eating problem, a drinking problem, prescription drugs. They struggle with anger. They struggle with things. And they're living their life, and they just know they just can't get over it, and they can't win. It's because they don't understand God's grace and truly the love of God. So I want you in this series, I want you to understand the most important thing. Don't miss a Sunday. And if you do, don't walk around in shame. But don't miss. Make it a point. Train yourself to plan to be at the most important places of your life, which one of those most important is your church attendance. Because I want you to understand how amazing God's plan is for all of us and our futures. So every message again will have a thread of grace in it. Now here is a wrong definition of grace, and many people live this way in their walk with God. A wrong definition of grace. They say grace is like the oars on a boat. They say we are in a boat and there is a current that is pulling us towards hell. And God has provided these oars. That's his grace. He provided the oars. And then they say, if we keep rowing, we will get to heaven. People believe that's grace. But if we quit rowing, we will go to hell. That explanation is not grace. That is your plan, not God's plan, if you're thinking that way. So here's a definition of grace that is not totally right due to the question we ask. Okay, it's a definition of grace that's truth, but it's not totally right because in our walk with God, our question is the wrong question regarding grace. You get that? So here it is. And I'm going to show you again. I touched on it at the beginning, but I'm going to show you the real question every single day of our life that reminds us to base our life on the grace of God. So here is the definition. Grace is the divine enablement of God. Grace is the divine enablement of God. But the question people ask is, what grace is? The question should be, what grace does, or what does grace do? Because when we understand grace, we understand grace is all about God and what He does and who He is, and not who we are or what we do. When we live our lives and we're doing great things for the kingdom of God, but sometimes we mess up, grace does this in that time frame of your life. Because when you get to a place that God's taking us and has taken us, the end of this year and then 2025, there's going to be a lot done that God does. And I'm going to say this, and you and I don't deserve it. But He does it because He's grace. Okay, follow me. So grace is unmerited, undeserved, unearned kindness and favor of God. Grace divinely enables us to do and live and think and receive all that God has given. What Pastor Dan was talking about, what Pastor Ryan was talking about, what all the worship team was singing about. It was a powerful Holy Spirit-led worship that taught us the basis of my series this morning. And this is what God is doing in our life. And I want you to understand, this is going to rock your world the next 3 months. It is going to literally unpack things that have been stuck in you for so many years. It will release you from some stuff that you struggle with, that you think that this is just who you are. This is how you were raised. No, no, no. When you became born again, you became a new person in Christ. Old things have passed away and all things have become new. So what I want to do is explain or unpack these three words, unmerited, undeserved, or unearned, today. And we're going to go through. 2025 is going to be a breakthrough with revelation that brings change to our personality and even culture of the way we think. And I'll tell you what, it's fun when you see it unpacked in people's lives. So the first word, let's talk about the first word regarding grace. It's unmerited. Ephesians 2 verse 8 says this, "For by grace you have been saved through faith. And that not of yourself, it's not your rowing, it is the gift of God. Not of works, lest anyone should boast." So hear this clearly. There's not going to be any boasting in heaven. When I go to heaven, I will not be boasting in heaven for anything that I did. Now, there's a lot of boasting on the earth now, but there will be none in heaven. You will not say in heaven, "I kept rowing, and that's why I'm here." You will not say, I have some friends that are not here because they stopped rowing. But I'm here because I rowed. The first time you see the nail prints on Jesus' hands, you will say, that's why I'm here. The first time you see Jesus and you see the piercing of his side, you will say, that's why I'm here. And that's why I succeeded on this earth, is because of him. Of what he did and what he knows. It's unmerited. Or, let's say it this way, we don't merit it. How many of you know this? When we're first saved, we knew it was unmerited because we felt rescued. 20 years later, with all the good things, and you've done good things, so have I, in 20 years that we've done for God, somehow we think, I wasn't that bad. Or I'm a little closer to what is needed for heaven. It's called self-righteousness. Scripture tells us even our righteousness is of filthy rags. See, the best thing about you, but there's nothing worse about God, the best thing about you and me is not even close to the worst thing that God could ever be. And God can't be worse. Scripture says love covers all sins. The plan of grace, let me describe it this way. Grace covers a multitude in my life. Maybe you didn't do this in your life, but love covers a multitude of my stupid sins. Have you ever done things you knew better? Holy Spirit talked to you and said, no. Really? Love covers that. But how many people carry the sin result even though they've confessed it all their life? And we're in the presence of God. We're praying. We're fasting. We're returning our tithe. We're giving offering. We're doing all the do-good stuff. The right stuff. Well, we still don't feel like we're making it because we're living in this lifestyle. See, I'm so glad for grace because I've done a lot of stupid stuff in my life. I have. So grace is unmerited. Here's the second thing about grace, or second word, undeserved. Grace is undeserved. We didn't deserve it back then when we were rescued, and we don't deserve it now, even though we are teachers or leaders in the church. Whatever we do, we don't deserve what we receive from grace. The word grace in the Greek is charis, charis. The C is silent and is pronounced charis. So charis, when you say charis, we normally do that in English. Charis is fine. Matter of fact, if you named your daughter charis, don't go home and call her charis now. Charis does mean the unmerited favor of God. But know this. Charis was a cultural word before it was a scriptural word. The Holy Spirit chose to use this word, charis. So let me give you the explanation. Charis, it implies or referred to a benevolent gift. It's a cultural word. It's referred to a benevolent gift from a superior to an inferior culturally. not I'm better than you, but someone who culturally is superior than someone else. So let's go on with that, because I want you to understand that it's undeserved. There's nothing I can do to earn it. A person superior in wealth and in goods sees someone who is in need or inferior in wealth and goods. Again, it's not talking about the personality of the person or the level in society. We are all equal according to the Word of God. If that superior gave a gift to that person that was inferior culturally, that was called grace or charis. But we need to understand in the literal language, the Greek text, the Greek language, it actually involves three parties or three persons. I actually taught on this about 10 years ago. You would think person has something, they give it to another person, it involved two. A person giving and a person receiving. But the person providing the goods, because there's three, is called the patron. P-A-T-R-O-N. The person receiving the gift or good is called the client. When sharing the gospel, we don't use these cultural words, all right? So listen very closely to this, because I want you to see the picture, and I'm going to show you another illustration that I shared with you quite a few years back too. In cultural Greek, those were the meanings, the patron, the client. The patron owns a shoe store, and he wants to provide shoes for some children in an orphanage. So with that, having a patron and a client, who is the third person? Because culturally, there is a third person. The third person was called the broker. The broker would go out into the community and see the needs of the inferior and then bring the inferior together with the superior. This is so cool. The brokers would actually pay for the merchandise. If it was 20 pairs of shoes, he would pay for the shoes. The patrons provided it. The client received it, but the broker paid for it. Does that remind you of something? The broker is Jesus. Jesus brought us together with the Father. But Jesus paid fully for you and me. It's been paid for. It's a gift. The life you live is a gift. The call that you have is a gift. It is paid for. Anything that you have done wrong has been paid for. It's taken care of. A famous pastor, Dr. E.V. Hill, I brought this out to you many years ago. When he was young, told his mother, "I want to pastor when I grow up." She said, the mom, "Well, you need to go to college if you're going to do that." But he didn't understand that, and he knew that they were very poor, and he knew they couldn't afford college. He would say to his mom, "I may not go to college, but I still will become a pastor." His mom said, "No, son, you will go to college," saying, "Son, God will provide." Every time E.V. Hill would bring it up, his mom would say, "Son, God will provide." So it came to the time she sent her son to register for college. He gets all the books, he gets all the paperwork, and he's in line. He's got about five people in front of him, and he is in line. He has no money, and he has everything, and he's embarrassed because he knows he's going to get up to the front, and he's going to be ashamed because they're going to just tell him, I'm sorry, you can't go to school because you can't pay for it. When he got to the front of the line, he said, I started to think about running. This is his testimony. But he said, my mom always told me, son, God will provide. So I stood there. When E.V. Hill took a step up to the window, a man walked up beside him, and the man grabbed Evie's hand and put money in his hand. Evie didn't even count the money. The lady put a piece of paper for him to sign and the amount of money, and he just threw the money down in front of the lady. She counted it out as the exact amount that he needed. Son, God will provide. We're talking about grace. Evie said he will never forget that it was the exact right amount. Grace gives you exactly what you need. So she took Evie's bill, took a stamp, and forcefully put the stamp down on the paper, and it said, paid in full. That's what Jesus did. Evie said, for the first time in my life, I recognized and understood the grace of God paid in full. And when we are living in this world and all the temptation, all the stuff that goes on in this world, I want you to understand that what Jesus did when he chose to go to the cross, not my will, but your will be done, he paid in full. And there's not one thing you have to do for it except receive the gift. That's grace. And some of you watching online, some of you in here are going, yeah, but pastor, but you, but what if I, what if they, what if? Pastor Bradford, one of my mentors in my life, wonderful man of God, he used to say, goats butt and sheep follow. And we need to follow the Word of God. We need to understand what the Word of God says. So when things come in your life and you start looking around, you're seeing these miracles happen. Remember the 5 minutes I got chewed out? He made sure that when all this begins to take place and all the stuff that's gone on, that you don't look back and say, look what I did. Well, how'd that happen? Well, you know, I spent a lot of time fasting. All of that is right to do. But grace provided it. Grace provided it. So grace is unmerited. Grace is undeserved. Here's the third word, unearned. Romans 11:6 says, and if by grace, then it is no longer of works. Otherwise, grace is no longer grace. But if it is of works, it is no longer grace. Otherwise, work is no longer work. We'll unpack that in the next few weeks. So let me substitute the words grace and works with free and earned. Because we receive a free gift of God of salvation. Freely you've been justified, freely you've been given. He is saying, if it's free, it's not earned. If it's earned, then it's not free. So grace is either free or it's either earned. If it's by grace, Scripture tells us, it can't be earned. Grace is paid for by Jesus. It's a gift. Everything I am, everything I will accomplish is a gift from Jesus. Everything I experience is a gift from Jesus. And what's great is we talked about covenant this morning, as we're all, when we become born again, the blood covenant is for all of us. We're co-equal with Jesus. It's all ours to have. Amen. So I don't look and say, well, what about so-and-so? I've done more than they've done, and look what they have, and look what I don't have. That's because if I say that and think that and allow that to steer my life, then I don't understand grace, which then hinders me from understanding the love of God. Did you know that God loves you so much that he sent his son to pay it in full? Wow. Let me give you the Baker Encyclopedia of the Bible. It's one of the really good ones. Grace is a dimension of divine activity that enables God to confront human indifference and rebellion with an inexhaustible capacity to forgive and to bless. Grace is that God confronts me, and there's an inexhaustible capacity for God not to forgive and not to bless. So I am walking in the blessings of grace, not the blessings of my work. Even though culturally, spiritually, faith without works is dead, because faith, believing the truth, causes me to do things in the truth. But that doesn't produce the gift. Grace gave it to me. And if I don't understand grace, I don't understand love, then I don't have the faith capacity to believe for the greater things. And when I say it, there's no faith in it. And that's why in my life, I'm doing things, and I stay committed, and I stay faithful, and I do the same thing. I love God. I love my wife. I love my family. I do everything. Doesn't matter what goes on. I love. Why? Because I understand grace, and I understand the love of God. And all that comes, my ability, my enablement to walk in that spiritual power and truth and the miraculous comes because I understand grace, that it was paid for, and it's mine because he gave it to me. I just received it. Are you hearing this? Okay, so I'm spending today giving you a synopsis of my 5-minute chewing out. But I'm not chewing you out. I'm just letting you know my mistake. I'm letting you know that even though I knew this, my mindset, my thinking, sometimes my, at times, worry wanting to get on me. Okay, have you ever, a lot of Christians say, oh, I don't worry. What do you mean you don't worry? You're working 24/7. You're just acting out on your worry. But I'm not a worry. Because I believe God. Uh-huh. Yeah, right. Let me tell you, when things are going right, when things are going really bad and you want things to go right, what do? Charge! Go after it, right? We work 24/7. Just get it. Because I'm a man of God, all right? Well, how about taking a couple days and relaxing. God says, what are you doing? I'm relaxing. Why are you relaxing? Because I prayed, Holy Spirit told me to relax because you got it taken care of. So I'm going to go home and take my wife out. I'm not going to worry about it. Right? Try it sometime. First time you do it, you'll go to lunch with your wife, and halfway through, you're going to start sweating. Because you haven't understood the spiritual truth of grace, the love of God. Okay, let's go on. I got 5-7 minutes more. Have you ever received a birthday gift from someone? Everyone say, yes, Pastor, I have. Go ahead. And you say, wow, thank you. And that person that gave it to you said, that'll be $100. Is that a gift? No. Kind of like when your kids are young. We just passed Christmas, right? Kids are young. And they give you a gift. And you know it's not a gift because that money they paid for that gift came out of the bank account, yours, right? See, other than Christmas, other than the gifts you get Christmas, other than your children, they're free. So with all the arguments of what grace is, because some people are gnawing at their teeth right now because of the way I'm talking here. We're taking 3 months to explain it. With all the arguments of what grace is, Christ died for our sins is grace. I was lost and now I'm found. That's grace. I think Satan causes us to argue about grace and wants us to forget that Christ died for our sins. Here's another picture, another illustration. I actually showed you a video of this, but I'm going to explain it this time. It's about a father and son named Rick and Dick Hoyt. Rick was born with an umbilical cord wrapped around his neck. And because of that, he lost oxygen, and so he couldn't walk or talk. But they found out as he was growing, he was extremely intelligent. 1973, some engineers created a computer where he could move the cursor with his eyes and bump something like a mouse and speak words through the computer, way before AI and everything, and Alexa. When he was 15, one of his classmates was in an accident and was paralyzed. They promoted a 5K race to raise money. And through the computer, Rick told his father, he said, I want to run in that race. And his dad wasn't a runner. And what he did is he saw his son wanting to do this. And so what he did was he trained so that he could run and push his son in the race. After the race, he told his dad through the computer, that was the first time in my life I didn't feel handicapped. So his dad continued to train, and if you know the story, you know that they ran in 72 marathons, 255 triathlons. Triathlon is 2.4 miles swimming, 26.2 miles running, and 112 miles biking. When Dick swam, Rick is in a rubber raft. When Dick ran, Rick was in a wheelchair. And when Dick biked, Rick is in a chair in the front of the bike. And you all need to understand, with God, you're the one in the chair. Everything that I have done and I've succeeded is because a father has been pushing me, pulling me, or carrying me. All he is asking you and me to do is this. Just get in a chair and actually let him put you in the chair. To rearrange your thinking regarding this grace. This does not say don't do things. What this is saying is the mindset behind what you do is that everything you do is a gift of God. And if you understand that and the love of God, then the miraculous will manifest in so, how am I going to say this? The miraculous will take place every time. Because your trust is not in yourself. Your trust is in the God who gave the gift. And when your trust is in the God that gave you the gift, then you will understand the love of God, and you'll even understand why sometimes things don't happen as quick. But you know God loves you. You're not running around like a chicken with your head cut off. What do I need to do? What do I need to do? What do I need to do? It's trusting God, and when you trust God, then you hear the voice of the Holy Spirit, and he will guide you in the truth of what to do in the midst of the blessing or in the midst of the tribulation. And you will take a deep breath, and you will know, God's got this thing. Everything I will ever need is already here. I heard that earlier today. That's what it's about. Grace. There's so much more to unpack. But I wanted you, I'll say it this way. God was very stern with me. I guess because I was the one going to be teaching it. I wasn't stern with you at all. I'm just trying to encourage you to believe and walk in what you already know. He chewed me out for 5 minutes in the past 30 minutes or so. I encouraged you that you have everything you need. Wherever he's placed you, there's a purpose and a reason why you're there. And you have the enablement of grace to see you through and to go above and beyond what your own humanness could ever dream to take place. Greater is he that's within you than he that's in the world. And whatever you would ever ask or think, God has more and will give more. Because culturally, spiritually, it's still the same thing. Jesus is the one that will gift you with that success, that prosperity, that healing. He'll give you that wisdom to handle every situation in your life. That's the God that we serve. Amen. Let's all stand. It is the unmerited, undeserved favor of God. Father, in Jesus' name, I proclaim a blessing over this house. As we come tonight to start this new year with great worship, being in your presence, Father, we know everything we are, everything we ever will be, is because you have gifted us with that. And we give you honor and we give you praise for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. We'll see you tonight.